John, I was watching your report on CNN today and you described this OPEC meeting as having more plot twists than a primetime TV drama, which is a great line. Tell me, what makes this such a good story?
Well, it's fascinating because you have a very strong demand right now, Richard, for oil because of the recovery that we're seeing in the developing world. So you've seen first half oil prices above $100 a barrel if you look at North Sea Brent. And at the same time, one of the members is caught up in a civil war, and that's Libya. And then behind the scenes, Iran doesn't have an oil minister that's sitting around the table. They sent this former sports minister who's been nominated by President Ahmadinejad as the oil minister, but not approved. The Libyans sent the former head of the power supply company, that has no experience in the energy business at all. And then of the 12 players that usually sit around the table, the 12 ministers, six of them are new players, and three of them are not even ministers at all, Richard. So the dynamics here, you can see, it's not straight up and down. Let's, you know, look at the eyes of each other that we know around the table so we can make a decision here to move forward. Not only are you getting a lot of pressure because oil prices are very high, but there's not a lot of familiar faces around the table. So it makes it very hard for the key players like Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Kuwait, the so-called, you know, price doves who are not so interested in high prices but getting the supplies out, to get a consensus around the table.
Indeed, perhaps that's why Ali Al-Naimi, the Saudi oil minister and the undisputed kingpin of OPEC, the Financial Times today describing him as irascible and flustered at this meeting. Are people getting a bit frustrated and tense?
Well, it's interesting. I approached the Saudi oil minister, Mr. Al-Naimi, in that 10-minute window we have at the start of the meeting before it becomes a closed-door meeting. And I asked him at three different occasions, does the OPEC need to come together here to send the right signal to the markets? And he smiled and he said, just basically, you know, nice try. I really don't want to comment. But I read it a little bit different than the FT on this one, Richard, because he's trying to be silent and work behind the scenes to build a consensus. But he had a very tough game coming in because the Venezuelan president, Chavez, and the Ecuadorian president, Correa, right before the meeting started, said that they're happy with $100 oil. We're not so concerned about what the production levels are. We should maximize prices. I spoke to the UAE oil minister, Mr. Al-Hamli, who's a veteran, of course, of the oil business in Abu Dhabi. And he expressed concerns that the oil market's very tight and that we should not be looking at the quota as it was in 2008, but look at the market the way it is in 2011. And that's the dilemma. And behind the scenes here, Richard, if oil prices stay where they are for all of 2011, the oil producers are going to make a record over $1 trillion in export revenues in 2011. That's going to beat 2008 when they brought in $990 billion. And they're very aware of the fact that the world's looking at them closely and looking for them to cooperate, at least send a signal to the market that whatever oil they have, if it's needed in the market right now, they'll be prepared to do so.
And you talked about price doves. You mentioned the three countries in particular, Saudi, the UAE and Kuwait. And from what the sense we get is that they're working together and they want to increase supply so that you can almost reduce prices and get it to a more sustainable level. The other camp are, if you like, the price hawks, traditionally led by Venezuela and Iran. They want to keep production low to keep the price high. So who do we think is going to win out at this meeting, John?
Well, there's a middle ground here, Richard. It's a phenomenal question on your part. The old quota is at 24.8 million barrels a day. That was in the second half of 2008 when they established it, when the market was collapsing. Remember, from 147 per barrel all the way down to about 35 per barrel in December 2008. That took more than 4 million barrels off the market. So instead of adding to the quota 1.5 million barrels, which would get them to their actual production today, if they raise it by a million and then said we're prepared to add more if necessary, that would probably suffice. And then you can see here, it's not 1.5 on the quota. It's 1 million. It leaves some wriggle room. I'm hearing some rumblings here in the hallways of the OPEC headquarters where I'm at right now that Iran's suggesting an emergency meeting in 3 months' time. And if they had an emergency meeting, they could revisit the scenario for the second half of 2011. So there is some space here, you know, compromise on the quota for now. If the market starts to collapse because they've decided to raise production and raise the quota, then they could come back in 3 months and adjust things. But right now the demand looks quite strong. What they're very worried about is the U.S. unemployment rate is of 9.1% is pointing to a slowdown in the second half when they pull out that U.S. Federal Reserve stimulus package. You see the debt talks with Greece and Portugal and Spain, Ireland, in Europe, concerning them because that's going to fill into demand for oil as well. And finally, Japan with that nuclear disaster, the economy's taking a hit in the near term. So their oil demand is down. So they don't want a scenario, a replay, if you will, of 2008. And that's what they're looking at here.
It's interesting to get the perspective of the big oil companies. And there were interesting comments today in your report on CNN from Christophe de Margerie, who's the boss of the French oil company Total. And he was saying essentially that actually the surprise is not that oil has gone up as much as 20% so far this year. The surprise is that it hasn't gone much, much higher, given that in the world's major oil-producing region, the Middle East, we've got such turmoil at the moment.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal point. And it provides a perspective. He was saying if you go back 10 to 15 years, even 20 years, and you've thrown what has been thrown at the oil market in the first half of 2011, you'd see a quadrupling in prices in the past. If you look back to the invasion of Kuwait by Iraq, you know, that's exactly what happened. And the fact that OPEC's been able to manage that so far with a 15 to 20% increase in the front half of the year, he thinks is actually acceptable because it could have been much, much worse. And I actually ran a chart in another one of the reports I was working on, Richard, looking at the first half of the year. And every time you see a price spike, it's related to an uprising. So we saw one with Egypt. We saw one with Yemen. We saw one with Libya. And we saw one with Syria. And that's a lot of uncertainty thrown at the market in the first 6 months of the year. And if you talk to people about stability in the region, this will play right into oil prices if you get some stability and some clarity, particularly in Syria and Yemen. But we don't have it right now. And these people are trying to sit around the table and look into the crystal balls and make a decision, at least for the second half of 2011, but something that could stick also for 2012. And that's why there's a lot of bickering going on here, because they don't want to pull the trigger on something and then have to try to reload the gun later.
My final question, John, is this. There's a lot of debate over the past couple of years about whether OPEC, now 50 years old, still has the muscle and the might to genuinely influence the oil price. Just how important, therefore, are these discussions? Can OPEC really have an impact on the price of oil?
Well, I'd say those who own all the gifts control all the power. They have the assets. So, as you know, they're sitting on 77% of the proven reserves today. So they're producing about 40% of the world's oil in the market, but they sit on 77% of proven reserves. So the answer to your question is an absolute yes. They're thrown off at different times because Russia, for example, is producing more than Saudi Arabia right now at 10 to 10.5 million barrels a day. Saudi Arabia is probably knocking up against 9 million barrels a day. But as a bulk group, there's no question that OPEC carries sway. I think the Secretary General, by the way, Mr. El-Badri, who is a Libyan, by the way, has managed the group extremely well in the last 4 or 5 years, much more professional. I think this plays well into the influence of the Saudi oil minister, Mr. Al-Naimi, and Mr. Al-Hamli of the UAE. They're very straight-shooting, veteran oil people, been in the business for 30 years. They're not looking for headlines, as some would accuse Venezuela or Iran looking for. They're just trying to balance out the market so you don't stifle demand in the West. And if prices get too high, Richard, this was always a concern in the Gulf states, alternative energy gets produced faster, and this would lessen the demand for oil in the next 2 to 3 decades.
John Defterios, presenter of Marketplace Middle East Weekends on CNN. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us from Vienna.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks.